Hey everyone, it's me Tim.
And me Camille.
And we are both in the middle of doing what millions and millions of people do every year when they come to St. Louis.
Walking to the Gateway Arch.
Yes, and it truly is like the symbol of St. Louis. And I gotta say, I've lived here for like 5 years, and every time I get close to it, it really is an impressive structure.
It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Even today, when it's all finished, you look at it and you say to yourself, it couldn't be done. But there it is, the Gateway to the West.
But this modern marvel of engineering designed as a symbolic gateway to the West comes with a problematic past.
Yeah, because it was mostly black businesses and residents who were displaced for its construction. And during the construction, the promise of jobs wasn't extended to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in 1964, legendary civil rights activist Percy Green actually scaled more than 100 feet up the side of the arch to protest discriminatory hiring practices. Then, 2 years later, white workers actually walked off the construction site when the first black contractors got jobs there.
Despite all this, at the arch's dedication in 1968, Vice President Hubert Humphrey called it a link to the richer future of tomorrow. Since then, the city of St. Louis has lost about half of its population, going from a little bit more than 600,000 people to just over 300,000 people today.
Yeah, and the racial disparities and tensions that characterize the building of the arch are hardly a thing of the past, and just about everybody you talk to around here has an opinion about what needs to change in St. Louis.
Oh man, if they could stop all the backbiting, the snitching and blaming each other.
The only thing I would say would be transportation.
It's a little bit concerning that you go a few blocks and it's not that great a neighborhood.
More of a walkable entertainment scene.
Get rid of all of the fiefdoms and start acting like a major city.
So you get the point. There are tons of ideas about what needs to happen in St. Louis. And over the past couple years while doing this show, we've heard from a wide cross-section of the city. Politicians, business people, moms, people in bars.
Way more voices than we could ever bring you in a single episode. So today we're going to break all that down and bring you one seemingly simple question from a regular guy who just wants St. Louis to do better.
And then we'll take that question to a woman who wants the same and just so happens to have recently come into a considerable amount of power.
Because whether you're a longtime resident
or you're listening to us in a totally different part of the country, what you hear in this question and answer says a lot about where the city is right now.
And where it might be going.
So, from PRX and St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
A show for people somewhere.
Somewhere.
Somewhere on the woke spectrum.
Somewhere.
Walk sign is on the cross. Four.
If you drive north on Memorial Drive, away from the arch, hang a left on Cass Street, a right on Jefferson Avenue, and a left on North Market Street, you may think you're in a different city. There are no high-rises, it's pretty quiet. Some areas seem downright deserted.
Yeah, there's pockets like this all over the city, and the potholes in this part of town remind you not to drive fast.
On North Market Street, right before it turns into a bend, catty corner from a small neighborhood park, you'll see a big, hulking, nondescript building. This is where we came to meet the man who sparked this entire episode.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, come on in.
This is Greg Gibson, a lanky, light-skinned baby boomer who kind of reminds me of one of my uncles.
He's in charge of sales at this factory, which is home to one of the only black-owned companies that makes a very special kind of tape. Basically, they use it to stick on the streets and create temporary lanes around construction projects.
I was born and reared in St. Louis, 64, soon to be 65. Soon to be on Medicare, thank God.
Healthcare aside, Greg has many things on his mind these days.
Yeah, not the least of which is the future of his hometown.
You know, St. Louis is the straw that stirs the drink. It's important for St. Louis to be successful, not just for St. Louis, but for the state of Missouri.
Yet Greg, like many people, hasn't been all that impressed with what he's seen happen to his part of the country in the last couple decades.
Well, progress is slow here anyway, because we're in the Midwest. And you know, there are other cities, if you look at Indianapolis and Cincinnati and Louisville, who are always backseat cities to St. Louis, they have surpassed us in terms of business progress. We seem to be kind of stuck.
Let's take a couple minutes to explain what Greg means by stuck. He's talking about things like expanding Metrolink, which for anyone outside of St. Louis is our light rail system here in town.
If I could ride Metrolink to work and back, I would do it right now. It just doesn't come my way.
Greg lives in the northern part of the St. Louis area, and the train runs east to west.
Local politicians have been fighting for years about adding a new route that would connect the mostly black northern half of the region with the southern part of the region, which is mostly white.
And for Greg and a lot of other people, this resistance is rooted not only in the region's fragmented governments, but long-standing negative stereotypes about who uses public transportation.
You know, when they were talking about the Metrolink, which I think, despite recent criminal activity, has been a pretty much of an unmitigated success. But prior to that, there was this real perception that, and this goes beyond just the city, but there was this perception that Metrolink was going to create an environment for criminals to run rampant, and the facts have borne that out to be anything but that.
Still, this doesn't have Greg optimistic that he'll be able to ride the train from his home in the county south to his job in the city anytime soon.
Or that he's going to start seeing a string of big, large-scale cooperative projects across the city and the county and all of its fragmented governments.
It's very difficult to pin it down into a specific issue. I guess you would have to have lived here for a while, and a while could be a couple of years, to see that racial issues seem to make the city racially standoffish.
Now, we don't want to paint Greg as this hopeless person who thinks St. Louis is this totally hopeless place, because the thing is, Greg is not a hopeless person, and he doesn't think St. Louis is either.
I mean, he actually reached out to us about this.
Mm-hmm. So let's explain how this all went down. Our newsroom runs a project called Curious Louis. Here's the idea. We ask folks around town, just regular folks, for questions that they'd like to see answered, and then our reporters go out and try and answer those questions.
Some of these are investigative in nature, but others are just things like people wanting to know why a local town here has its name spelled backward on a sign.
Good question.
Or who's the oldest person in the region.
Right. And this spring, Curious Louis did a special call-out.
This was back in the heat of a pretty contentious city election, one that was going to deliver a new mayor for the first time in 16 years.
St. Louis Public Radio did an entire podcast about the former mayors, Mayor Francis Slay, and his legacy around town. Great show. It's called Millennium Mayor. Go check it out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, a lot of people submitted questions for this new mayor, who turned out to be a woman named Lyda Cruzan. We'll get to her in a second. We just happen to think that Greg had a really interesting question.
As the new mayor of St. Louis, what steps will you take to create an environment whereby racial issues take a backseat to overall progress?
So I gotta tell you, Greg's question gave me a bit of a mental hiccup, if you will. Because maybe some of you guys out there listening tripped over the same phrase I did, back seat.
It doesn't seem to quite line up with a lot of talk we hear about social and racial justice these days, especially in St. Louis. It had a certain kind of nuance to the question, and it made us curious to know more.
Tell me about writing that question.
It seems to me from afar that oftentimes racial issues hinder or get in the way of overall progress for the city. So with our new mayor, Mayor Cruzan, I thought I wanted to get an idea as to what steps she might take to help make this racial/business situation better.
All right, so that gives us just a little bit more clarity.
A little, but I think we should break down his question into three parts, because that's really how I heard it.
Let's start with part one, creating an environment.
How can she do that? What do you want her to do?
I would hope that she would be open to discussion. I don't hear as much talk involving cooperation as I would like to hear. I hear this is what we as black people want. And then I hear, you know, not so much a response from Board of Aldermen white people on that. I mean, I think people listen and then they go, yeah, well, whatever.
Now let's get to part two of his question, the part that took us aback when we first read it, about racial issues taking a back seat.
It's been my experience from, again, afar, cities like Atlanta and Chicago and Houston, other cities have the same racial challenges that we face here in St. Louis, but they seem to do a better job of not letting that get in the way of overall business. And I guess to be specific, I think it sometimes does here.
Greg isn't just talking from assumptions here. He's a boomerang baby.
I'm sorry. Did you call him a boomerang baby?
Yeah.
I thought he was baby boomer. What is a boomerang baby? You made that up.
I did it. I
yes,
heard it.
Did.
I know. I heard it from somebody here in town. Okay. Anyway, guys, this is what a boomerang baby is.
Okay.
It's somebody who grew up in St. Louis, left for a while, and then came back.
Ah, boomerang baby. Gotcha. So, my wife is actually a boomerang baby.
Oh.
It's true. It turns out that four generations of Italians can create a lot of gravity around St. Louis. a lot of personal pull there.
I bet. Yeah. And it was actually family ties that also brought Greg back.
And if you spend enough time with Greg, you're going to start hearing some sharp comparisons to another great American city.
Detroit.
There it is.
Sorry, guys. I got to show my Michigan pride.
Yes. But in all seriousness, Greg has a unique fondness for the Motor City, where he lived for a decade after graduating from the University of Missouri in the early 1970s.
Coleman Young was the mayor. And there just seemed to be a much greater sense of cooperation. For instance, the Renaissance Center was something that was a real effort, not only by Mayor Coleman Young, by Henry Ford, or as we used to affectionately call him, Henry the Deuce. And it was important that this Renaissance Center come up in an area that used to be known as Black Bottom, which was basically a warehouse district that was dilapidated. And you could just see there was a high level of cooperation between this guy who was the head of Ford Motor Company, and Coleman Young, who was black mayor of Detroit, along with many, many others. But those two were the spearheads. I noticed the race thing, and it's kind of difficult. It's subtle, but it's there. Even when I went into areas in outstate Michigan, I didn't feel the same tinge of tension that you feel here in Missouri. You know, it's not as if someone, I can't recall here in Missouri where someone used the N-word, but there's a feeling, a subtle feeling. It's very difficult to communicate this if you're not black. But there is a tension that I feel and felt here that I didn't feel when I was in Detroit.
So neither Tim or I are from St. Louis. And I gotta say, Greg's point about the tension here being thick, that really resonates with me because I've lived elsewhere too and it is different. But we should get back to Greg and the third part of his question. Overall progress.
Now, overall progress could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But for Greg, it means the city taking more risk.
We like to be on the back end of innovation, not on the front end. We find our ways to innovation after it's already been proven to work in here and here and here and here. We don't seem to be the type of city that's ready to step out and try something new. We tend to be followers, not leaders. You know, they were talking about the Loft District in St. Louis when I moved back here in 85, and it's just now really taken off. They were talking about that in 1985.
Clearly, Greg has been thinking about race, politics, and St. Louis's lumbering civic progress for a long time. And if you can't tell by this point, he also cares deeply about the city.
So given all of this, what kind of answer does he expect from the city's new mayor?
Boilerplate. Meaning, I would expect the mayor, not expect, but since you asked the question, as mayor of St. Louis, I am going to represent all of the people of St. Louis, and I will certainly reach out to businesses and civic people to help us grow this city and to make it a better place for all of us.
If you hear that, what will it mean for you?
Well, she could be, that could really be what her goal is. So I'm not going to say that if she says it, I'm going to poo-poo it, but I've heard that line before. Not necessarily as it relates to St. Louis, just in general. The proof is in the pudding. And she might be stymied along the way, which may make her frustrated, so.
What do you want to hear from her? What would be the best case, what would be the best answer you could get from her?
I'm a new mayor. You folks are gonna have to trust me and my instincts and the path that I'm gonna take to help continue to revitalize this city and to make it a place that all of us, black, white, Hispanic, Somalian, all want to be a part of. And we're going to work together to make it to be that way.
Isn't that the same answer?
I guess one could say that. You know, we could argue semantics and say, well, your nomenclature is what you just said is what you call boilerplate, but yours sounds like boilerplate as well. Yeah, fair.
So coming up, we head downtown and try and get some answers for Greg from the city's new mayor.
Lyda Crewson is no stranger to City Hall. She got involved in government 20 years ago, following the murder of her husband who was killed in a carjacking outside their home.
Last spring, she won the Democratic primary for mayor. Now, St. Louis is so blue that if you win that Democratic primary, you're pretty much guaranteed to win the general election, which is what happened.
She's actually the first woman in the city's history to do this.
And she invited us to her office when we told her, we've got a question from one very civic-minded citizen.
Hey.
Hey.
Give me a couple more minutes.
Oh, false start.
All right, since we've got a couple of minutes, let's go ahead and cue the waiting room music and give you a little bit more background on Lyda Crewson. For years, Lyda Crewson was an older woman. That's St. Louis's name for city council members. And she lives in one of the city's poshest neighborhoods, the Central West End. It's a very nice place.
Very nice. It's also next door to one of the city's jewels, a park that many people around here will remind you hosted the World's Fair in 1904.
Also, racial issues played a big part in the mayoral election that Crewson won.
Here's some tape of our colleague Rachel Lippman, who covered the election, giving us some background.
In the mayor's race that Crewson won, she was the one strong white candidate, and she was running against four pretty strong African-American candidates. And there was a lot of concern that having that many legitimate African-American candidates in the race was going to fracture that vote and essentially clear the way for Lyda to get into office. That sort of happened, but what was really the deciding factor was that the wider, more conservative areas of the city really turned out for Mayor Crewson. She won some of those wards by 2,000 votes, and that's really hard to overcome regardless of who's in the race.
Sorry about the wait.
No problem.
All right, so the mayor can see us now. She doesn't have a whole lot of time, so let's get right into it.
So Greg's question, I've memorized it now, is as the new mayor of St. Louis, what will you do to create an environment wherein racial issues take a back seat to overall progress?
Interesting question, take a back seat. You know, I think that until we actually achieve a very good measure of racial equity, I don't know that racial issues will take a backseat to other issues. I will say, though, that I think that many of the things that we are working on, particularly in the area of public safety, resonate with both African American and white and Asian and Hispanic residents that we have here in our city. So whether racial issues will take a backseat within the next 4 or 8 years, I don't know. I don't necessarily see that, because I think it's a sort of ever-present subject here in St. Louis.
In fact, Crewson says one of the first things she did as mayor was put key staff through diversity training.
On top of that, she hired Nicole Hudson, who was heavily involved in a massive report issued in the wake of Michael Brown's killing 3 years ago.
And so she's involved in decisions, and so that we can be intentional about implementing the Ferguson Commission recommendations as much as possible.
Crewson says the city is about to embark on a racial equity audit for all departments she has control over.
But it's not clear what specific policies will be put in place or what Crewson will do when she gets those audit results.
I'm certainly willing to be judged by my record on these things.
Now, we should acknowledge that Crewson will have to clear some unique structural hurdles.
The mayor of the city of St. Louis is seen as one of the weakest mayors by authority among all the major central cities in the United States.
This is Terry Jones. He's a political science professor at the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
He spoke to our colleague Jenny Simone Casas earlier this year for a story she did on limits to the mayor's powers. One of those limits is that the mayor does not control the city's budget.
Instead, a three-person board votes on where taxpayer dollars go. Crewson is one of those members, but she can't take any action alone.
Among central cities, St. Louis is the only one that weakens the power of the mayor to spend the budget. There's a bit of the wizard behind the curtain here, but nonetheless, that's the way it plays out.
All the structural limits aside, Crewson says the office actually can be quite effective if used properly.
And she hopes people keep in mind what she sees as progress the city has made in recent decades.
We tend to focus a lot on our challenges, but when you look at the success over the last 20 years, 15 or 20 years, there have been many neighborhoods that have been redeveloped. If you look at Old North, or you look at Hyde Park, or The Loop, or South Grand, or Cherokee Street, or The Grove, those are all areas that have been redeveloped over the last 10 or 15 years or so. You take a look at Cortex, you know, those are all great things happening in our city. NGA is a great opportunity that we have to rebuild a large section of North St. Louis, near just a little bit north of where we are here at City Hall.
The area Crewson is talking about is the same place where Greg works.
And it's an area that Crewson says she plans to focus on heavily.
30% of the people who live in St. Louis live in poverty. Poverty for a family of four is $24,600. That's for a family of four. You know, I would just say to our listeners to really think about that for a second, because that is a very low wage for a family of four. And so, you know, down the road, I would certainly hope that through our actions that we would be able to help lift people up out of poverty and lower that number substantially.
On this show, we've been intermediaries between Greg Gibson, he's a regular guy who wants more for his hometown,
and Lyda Crewson, a woman who convinced voters she can deliver.
Now, it's time for us to finish our job.
We go back to the large brick warehouse in North St. Louis to deliver answers to the question Greg gave us.
And it's Crewson's comments about the desperate need to combat poverty that seem to resonate the most with Greg.
If you get on Page and you drive all the way down here where it turns into Martin Luther King, man, you can see banded up building after building after building after building. And, you know, for a minute early in his campaign, Donald Trump almost got me. I remember him very vividly saying back in maybe April of last year when they were talking about Ferguson and Baltimore. And I was on my computer at home and I heard him say, you know what's wrong with Ferguson and Baltimore? there's no hope. There's no jobs. I'm going to be the greatest job-creating president in history of the United States. And I was like, I mean, I was struck by that, because that's really what this is. So the job of the mayor and the city, you know, the aldermen and all of that thing, you know, is to look at what is the problem. No hope, no jobs. So how do we bring hope here via jobs? So we need to encourage businesses to either locate in the city or set up some satellite operations in the city so that people have jobs. You know, 30% of the people live below the poverty line. That leads to all kind of negative things. And most of those people who live at that level, I would probably say half, 20% of them don't have, you know, they live off welfare or whatever. They have no sustainable income, nothing that's going to say tomorrow is going to be better.
Greg says he's not expecting Crewson to have some kind of crystal ball or magic wand, but he does have high expectations.
And he's willing to give her some time, because he says if you look around the country, there are examples from other cities that are proof that what he wants Crewson to do is possible.
Coleman Young, who was vilified by some, but who I think was a really good mayor in terms of having a vision for what Detroit could be. I respected him. Mayor Washington in Chicago. I think New York has had some good mayors. I can't necessarily name them off the top of my head, but Dinkins, I think they've had some good mayors along the way. And some of these have been white mayors, too. So I would be remiss, you know, if I didn't also... Those cities, I think, have had the good fortune more often than not that had mayors who may have, one, had more power than the mayor of St. Louis, but two, understood what the end game was.
And what's the end game?
The end game is cooperation politically, business-wise, and hell, why not, socially as well.
So at the end of episodes, we try not to just leave you guys hanging.
Yeah, the natural inclination is to give you a big conclusion, or at least a major takeaway.
But it was hard with this one.
Yeah, because even in all the examples that Greg laid out as being cities that he thinks have moved forward in ways that St. Louis hasn't, there's plenty of people living in those cities that would say they have not bridged racial divides and made civic progress at the same time.
Yeah. But there is something that we've realized, or we think that we've realized.
Yeah.
And that's that if cities like St. Louis or other places are really going to be able to reinvent themselves, it might just come down to if they can do better while being fair. So we have a question for you guys out there, especially those not here in St. Louis. Tell us how your cities are doing when it comes to racial issues and overall progress.
You can send your answers through a voice recording to our email address. That's info@welivehere.show. So just make a little voice memo on your phone and email us again to info@welivehere.show. Or you can tell us in the tweets. Our handle is @welivehereSTL.
We Live Here is produced by me, Camille Stanley.
And me, Tim Lloyd. Sheila Newman is the executive editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.